Please welcome Marcus Hell.
We are happy to have you here. Now, I have good news and bad news. The good news is I have not planned any further chemistry lessons. I was asked by Peter to leave this area to his domain because he's really the expert, as you have seen from his explanation. We'll talk about the dynamics in the market, in a very exciting market right now. So we have to leave for a moment or half an hour the heights of R&D and the excitement in R&D and talk about a business environment which is, we believe, equally exciting. So let's get started. In our journey starts about 10 years ago when the market, as we call it at that time, was red ocean driven. Now, what does it mean? Red ocean is like the real red ocean is driven by a lot of sharks in the water fighting for limited food. And in the context of our business, it's obviously a shrinking market back in the late 90s. And the reasons for those factors in the marketplace are also well known to all of you here. The devaluation of the market from generics, the impact from technology shift resulting from Roundup Ready, quick adoption in soybeans, in corn, in cotton. And those changes have obviously resulted in a lot of pain, a lot of restructuring, a lot of cost cutting in the ag-chem industry, especially in North America. BASF in 2003, 2004 basically had this mantra, this vision of developing blue ocean opportunities. Now, blue ocean, as you can see on the picture here, are slightly more enjoyable. There are fewer sharks or no sharks. It's a much different environment, and it's an uncontested market opportunity, which, of course, requires a lot of investment to develop this market in the near future. So we've decided about 5 years ago to develop the plant health market. And I recall our last media summit in Washington, where a lot of people were wondering, what are they talking about? And perhaps some of you might remember those first discussions on plant health, which basically is a complete new market segment developed by BASF in North America and obviously in other parts of the world as well. So this mantra and this vision has really put BASF as an innovation leader on the landscape, and it has also required substantial investments over the last couple of years. Now, unfortunately, as in real life, we have the usual suspects following the blue ocean opportunity, and it's clear that other companies are trying to bring comparable technology to the marketplace. Now, the whole excitement about plant health and this new market is obviously helped a lot by a situation where we have sort of a perfect storm in terms of the agricultural commodity situation, the global demand, and even that storm with some of the weather-related delays in the Midwest, we believe is a very strong basis for sort of a new age of agriculture in North America, driven by very high profitability, but also high commodity prices and strong global demand for those key agricultural products in North America. The other aspect to consider is clearly a significant increase in production cost over the last 12 to 18 months, whether that is fertilizer, fuel, or chemicals. And on the other hand, this high liquidity and high profitability of farmers is a major motivator to continue investing in agriculture. And we are expecting a record net cash income in 2008 and beyond. So a very interesting market dynamics. On the one hand, significant production cost increases in several areas. On the other hand, driven by very high profitability, a record net cash income in 2008 and beyond. Now, what does that really mean for our happy farmer here, and what does it mean for the ag-chem industry and for BASF? We as a company, as an organization, have never stopped investing in innovation with focus on yield and productivity. That has been basically the direction of our R&D efforts the last couple of years. And we are happy to see today, the last 12 months, some major successes and breakthrough in plant health, or as Pete has also mentioned, in fruit health, in several segments, especially in the Californian markets. And the other a big opportunity we're going to talk later in the presentation today is about companion chemistry, new herbicide chemistry, to address, to solve, and to fix some of the growing glyphosate performance gaps in North America. Now, headline, and that's not our information, it's independent market research data from 2007, a huge success story for BASF and for our organization here. It's the number one fungicide in North America. It's in terms of unaided brand awareness, 4x to the next fungicide. So if you took a look at Quill, Stratego, Quadris, to name the other main competitors, we have an unaided brand awareness 4 times superior to any of the other competitor products. And we believe it's the best technology that is available on the market right now to really develop this exciting new and huge growth opportunity in the plant health market. Now, it's difficult. Blue ocean. How big will this market be? We believe this year it's $500+ million already in plant health. 5 years from now, it's really, really dependent on the opportunities in corn, in soybeans, in wheat, and obviously also driven by the commodity price situation. But it's an exciting and a great opportunity, especially if you have the best technology in class. And those are a couple of numbers that should give you also some indication of what are we looking at for headline. First numbers are last year's sales, so about 15 million acres have been treated in corn, in wheat, and in soybeans last year, where we really have seen a major takeoff of the headline applications in the corn market. The lower number, then that's what we see as a forecast, as a target for 2008. So basically doubling the corn acres, a significant increase in soybeans, and a very significant increase also in the wheat market. So altogether, slightly more than 25 million acres will be treated this year in North America. Now, simple mathematics, it's about $10 per acre. So it's a big opportunity that is developing. And this is clearly not the end of the journey. There is significant growth potential. There are certain limitations in certain crops. But it's an exciting opportunity. And the real reason why we have this outstanding opportunity is the benefit this technology brings to the grower. If you look at the 08 target numbers, the acres treated, those 25 million acres of crop treated will add grower revenue, additional grower revenue from higher productivity, higher yield per acre of about $1.2 billion. So it's a pretty big number. And that's also driving the excitement of farmers to really use headline on a lot of their arable crops. A huge story. I think a lot of investment over the last couple of years. It didn't come overnight, but I think the organization, together with a lot of help and guidance from our colleagues from R&D, has done a great job to develop this new market opportunity. And sometimes this picture is much simpler, I believe, than Peter's explanation, but it shows you the result of headline application in corn, for example. We believe sometimes, as we say in German, a picture says more than 1,000 words. That's what the farmers have seen last year in corn. Now, I think the point we have to make as well, we talk about ACT, adjuvant, coverage, and timing. So you get optimum results in corn if you apply the product with an adjuvant, secure optimum coverage on the crop, but also the timing, which is the VT stage, is the best timing to maximize productivity in corn. So technology is great, the knowledge about this technology is important, but the perfect timing to maximize productivity is a critical success factor to further enhance this technology. Now in corn, we know with the current commodity prices, farmers are willing to treat much more acres than we have planned right now. One of the limiting factors, and my colleagues this afternoon will talk about aerial application, we know that the biggest limiting factor right now is treating all those acres in a window that is about 4 weeks with airplanes. We know also there's about a capacity of 20 to 25 million acres to treat corn in early July. And the project Mike has talked about Rockford MAPS, is not only to improve the safety aspects for the aerial application, but it's also to increase the acreage coverage 30 to 40%. So we're working with Rockford, but also with other technology providers to make sure we can further expand acres that should be covered in corn, because the farmers' view and desire to treat more acres is stronger than ever. Now, another example of how we are developing the wheat market. Here again, it shows that a strobilurine application is resulting in significant improved yield, and in this particular case, it took about 800 more feet to fill the combine. And with those simple examples, we tried to raise the awareness, the profile, but also the understanding of growers of what strobilurine applications are bringing to a wheat grower, for example, here. And it's not only the BSF preaching or the cooperation, the co-promotion with Monsanto since last year. There's independent market research. You can see at the top of the chart, which shows the yield benefits headline brings against our main competitors. So we clearly have a technology advantage to other strobilurins or strobilurin mixtures. And we have very strong support from seed breeding companies. Now, in this case here, it's just Bex or Pioneer. There's a lot of companies, seed breeding companies, that are supporting and that have seen, especially in corn, the huge opportunity headline brings to the grower. Now, we don't stop with the crops that are currently labeled and registered in the U.S. We've recently got an extension for headline application in cotton, a market that hasn't really seen fungicide uses in the past. And here again, a similar situation. The yield benefits, the positive ROI in cotton applications is a significant motivation to growers to apply fungicides also in cotton. So here, a very attractive ROI for cotton applications with headline in the U.S. And a recent example, basically last week, we got an exclusive emergency registration for headline application and Caramba application in sugarcane for Florida and for Louisiana. Again, a very similar, consistent message here. Disease control and productivity increases are the main drivers for a very strong demand and opportunity to expand the headline applications beyond the crops we've talked already. Now, headline is the backbone of our fungicide strategy in North America, but we've started to expand and to develop this portfolio. We've recently got a registration for a triazole called Caramba, already well known in the European countries for about 10 years. We believe it's the best-in-class triazole. It's very efficacious for head scab control, which is a growing challenge in the U.S. market. And we are also launching this year a mixture of headline plus metconazole or Caramba for leaf stripe control. So basically, we are expanding our portfolio in addition to headline with having the Caramba franchise and in future, in 2008 and beyond, a mixture of both products available, where we believe this is clearly the best technology in terms of fungicide opportunities and offerings to the wheat grower in the U.S. The focus will always remain on improved productivity and disease control as we've developed and also proven already in soybeans and in the corn market. The other example, and that's why we are on the one hand excited and thrilled about it, if we step back in time and you look at the herbicide market in North America the last 8 years, that's what happened to the herbicide market in terms of devaluation. So basically, the successful adoption and penetration of Roundup Ready corn and soybeans has resulted in a very significant devaluation of the market. On top, since last year, you had a massive devaluation of glyphosate and generic entrants in North America. And we were really concerned, where is this market going to stop? Because clearly, this decline had a lot of pain and negative impact for all players bringing conventional or having conventional technology available. So a significant devaluation, but we believe also a great opportunity. And why are we excited about this great, great opportunity? Again, one simple picture. This is giant ragweed, and it's obviously a gigantic challenge and a gigantic opportunity. And I'm sure you've heard a lot, even from Monsanto, about glyphosate resistance and challenges they are facing with the existing technology. Those are not necessarily our friends, but those are the glyphosate-resistant weeds that have been growing rapidly in the U.S. Basically since the early years of 2000, and they are obviously offering a huge opportunity for new herbicides, for new technology to close some of those gaps. This is what we believe has happened in the field, so it shows the main resistant glyphosate weeds and their respective development over the last couple of years. So roughly 100 million acres have one or several glyphosate-resistant weeds, and this development with the rapid adoption, the higher use rate of glyphosate will obviously accelerate and will create even bigger opportunities for new technology to address and to close some of those weed shifts or resistant gaps in the next couple of years. So that's where the Kixor fit is in, And as mentioned before, it's either together with glyphosate in the tank, or it's in co-formulations that are complementing this technology. So a great opportunity, we believe, for the North American markets, driven by a growing problem, but also a desperate need for growers to fix and to address some of their problematic weeds they cannot control in the field any longer. So we've started, obviously, to talk to growers as part of the pre-launch effort, and the key messages you get from growers these days in the U.S., I think they are well known, they are very clear. Broadleaf weed control is a challenge. There is no good or excellent broadleaf weed control any longer. Glyphosate, for years, the solution to most of the problems is not bulletproof anymore because of those problematic weeds and difficult to control. There's basically very few or no new chemistry coming to the marketplace in the foreseeable future that addresses or solves some of those grower concerns and problems. And Kixor is the umbrella brand for a number of products we are going to launch in the foreseeable future. It's not one single product. It's a family of products. And this brand is the global umbrella brand for this new herbicide. On a very simplistic chart, what does it mean? What are the main use patterns for Kixor in North America? You have the burndown application, where we see that Kixor is bringing faster, sharper, and more complete broadleaf weed control to the grower and to the market. And a second segment and a second application is the soil residual activity. So we have those two distinct different segments and applications. Now, if you combine the value of those two applications right now, it's slightly north of $3 billion. So it's a huge market still, which obviously is threatened by a lower biological activity of glyphosate-based products. So what does it mean from a BASF portfolio and strategy point of view? We will launch and introduce in a first wave 5 new products, pre-mixtures and solo products. Pre-mixtures with DMTA, as Peter has shown, with IMI technology, but also a couple of products solo as companion, and tank mix products with glyphosate. We are expecting the first registration for this exciting new chemistry in the second part of 2009, and we will have the largest product launch ever for BASF in North America for 2010 with those new products coming to the marketplace. So that's why we have this sort of symbol as a space shuttle to highlight and illustrate the importance also for our organization, for the market of Kixor and the introduction, which is currently in preparation for 2010. Mike has talked about seed treatment and our seed treatment activities. We've started with the acquisition of the fipronil package. So fipronil is region, and then with triticonazole, which are the charter-based products. And we see a lot of growth opportunity in a market that is basically tripling. If you look back in 2000, the total market was about $200 million. For 2010, we expect a seed treatment market value in North America of around $600 million. That is fungicides and insecticides together. And this opportunity is also triggered and driven by the increase of higher valued seed. And obviously, the grower is trying to protect his higher valued seed and his investment with an increase of seed treatment applications. So it's a great opportunity. And we believe, especially with fungicides around F500 and around triticonazole, we have an outstanding opportunity to further gain market share and improve our position in North America. Now, to complete a little bit our journey of innovations here, we want to talk about products coming to the non-crop market. We know right now this market is going through a couple of rough moments, and those rough moments are basically coming from the generic impact, the devaluation in certain segments, and secondly, the housing market is obviously having some impact on the turf and ornamental market, where people have other problems than perhaps maximizing spending fungicides and insecticides on their turf. But it's a segment where we believe innovation is the driver, new technology is important. That's why we've invested in those new products, which my colleague Paul Ray will present this afternoon in some more detail. Again, it's a company philosophy that innovation and new technologies are the success factor in the future. We've also talked about innovations can happen in different areas, and this is an example where we believe innovation in packaging might sound as a trivial opportunity, but from a sustainability point of view, it's a huge success story, where with this flexible packaging for one product in our turf and ornamental portfolio for Drive, you can reduce the plastic by about 60% compared to a conventional jug. So another example of innovation being from a different area, but also supporting and underlining the company commitment to sustainability from an environmental point of view. So if we look back at our two farming fellows, yesterday clearly a lot of concerns about the profitability, the cropping situation, forecasting the right crop and anticipating the global demand. For the future, there is clearly a lot of excitement, and this excitement is driven by high commodity prices, by maximizing productivity and yield, and really looking for innovation as a growth engine in the future. And I would like to summarize with a couple of final statements and thoughts from our side. We believe that innovation is a driver for our existence, but also to develop new market opportunities like you've seen with the plant health market. These innovations shouldn't be only an innovation for BASF to please ourselves. They have to bring a benefit, adding value to the grower, but also solving problems our grower customers are facing these days in an increasingly important environment. And our contribution and commitment as an organization globally and in North America is obviously to continue investing in innovations to provide successful solutions for our customers. That's it from my side. Thank you very much.
And we have a few minutes for some questions for Marcus.